Hello, this is Miss Dell with the Decatur Herald and Review, dated Monday, March 2nd, 2026. We will begin today's reading on the front page with an article headlined U.S.-Iran Trade Vows of Vengeance. Three Americans die, five wounded, Khamenei successor may emerge soon. Dubai, United Arab Emirates. The U.S. and Israeli pounded targets across Iran on Sunday, dropping massive bombs on the country's ballistic missile sites and wiping out warships as part of an intensifying military campaign following the killing of Supreme Leader Ayatollah Ali Khamenei. Blast rattled the windows across the country and sent plumes of smoke high into the sky above the capital city of Tehran. More than 200 people were killed since the start of the strikes that killed Khamenei and several other senior leaders, Iranian leaders have said. Iran vowed revenge, firing missiles at Israel and Gulf Arab states in a counteroffensive that the U.S. military said killed three service members, the first known American casualties from the conflict. Israel's rescue services said nine people were killed and 28 wounded in a strike that hit a synagogue in the central town of Beit Shemesh, bringing the overall death toll in the country to 11. 11 people were still missing after the strike, police said. But the attacks on Iran showed no signs of relenting as the U.S. and Israel took aim at key military, political, and intelligence targets in what appeared to be a widening war that carried the potential for a prolonged conflict that could develop in the Middle East and destabilize it. The strikes, the second time in 8 months that the U.S. and Israel had combined against Iran, represented a startling show of military might for an American president who swept into an office America First platform that vowed to stay out of forever wars. Speaking in a video message, Trump said the U.S. would avenge the deaths of service members and that there will likely be more killed before the conflict ends. The president made the comments in a roughly 6-minute video he posted on social media Sunday afternoon. He called the three service members true American patriots who have made the ultimate sacrifice for our nation, even as we continue the righteous mission for which they gave their lives. He added, "Sadly, there will likely be more before it ends. That's the way it is. Likely be more." Israel, which pledged nonstop strikes, said it was increasing its attacks with 100 fighter jets simultaneously striking targets in Tehran. Brigadier General Effie Defrin told reporters at a briefing the targets included buildings belonging to Iran's Air Force, its missile command, and its internal security force, which violently squashed anti-government protests in January. The U.S. military, meanwhile, said B-2 stealth bombers struck Iran's ballistic missile facilities with 2,000-pound bombs. Trump said on social media that nine Iranian warships were sunk and that the Iranian Navy's headquarters was largely destroyed. In an indication that the conflict could draw in other nations, Britain, France, and Germany said Sunday they were ready to work with the U.S. to help stop Iran's attacks. Leaders of the countries said in a joint statement that they were appalled by Iran's reckless strikes on their allies. In the 12-day war last June, Israeli and American strikes greatly weakened Iran's air defenses, military leadership, and nuclear program. But the killing of Khamenei, who ruled Iran for more than 3 decades, creates a leadership vacuum, increasing the risk of regional instability. Trump, who a day earlier encouraged Iranians to take over their government, signaled Sunday that he was open to dialogue with Iran's new leadership. "They want to talk, and I have agreed to talk, so I will be talking to them," he told The Atlantic. In Tehran, there was little sign that Iranians had heeded Trump's call for an uprising against the government. The streets were largely deserted as people sheltered during heavy airstrikes, witnesses told the Associated Press, speaking anonymously for fear of retribution. The parliamentary Basij, which is played a central role in crushing one protest, set up checkpoints across the city, they said. Two powerful explosions were heard in Tehran's Navarin neighborhood late Sunday. An eyewitness in the city told AP that the windows of their apartments shook violently, and residents came out onto the streets, fearing it was too dangerous to stay inside. The witness spoke on condition of anonymity for fear of reprisals. Video footage from Tehran showed plumes of smoke filling the skyline, and the official IRNA news agency reported that parts of the building of the Islamic Republic of Iran Broadcasting were struck Sunday. In southern Iran, at least 165 people were killed Saturday when a girls' school was struck, and dozens more were wounded. IRNA reported the Israeli military said it was not aware of strikes in the area. The U.S. military said it was looking into the reports. The U.S. military did not provide details about the three service members who were killed or about five others who were seriously wounded. It said several others suffered minor injuries and concussions. As Supreme Leader Khomeini had final say on all major policies since 1989, he led Iran's clerical establishment and the Revolutionary Guard, the two main centers of power in the governing theocracy. The CIA had been tracking the movements of senior Iranian leaders, including Khomeini, for months, according to a person familiar with the operation who spoke on condition of anonymity. The intelligence was shared with Israeli officials, and the timing of the strikes was adjusted in part because of that information, the person said. Iranian President Masoud Pezeshkian said in a pre-recorded message that a new leadership council had begun its work. The country's foreign minister, Abbas Araghchi, said a new supreme leader would be chosen in 1 or 2 days. As word spread of Khomeini's death, some in Tehran could be seen cheering from rooftops, witnesses said. Others mourned as a black flag was raised over the Imam Reza shrine in Mashhad. An Iranian medical professional in northern Iran said he and colleagues spent the early hours of Sunday celebrating Khomeini's death indoors because armed security forces were still heavily deployed in his city. There were forces stopping and interrogating people celebrating in the cars, but there was no gunfire, said the doctor, who spoke on condition of anonymity for fear of reprisal. It was one of the best nights, if not the best night in our life, said the doctor in a voice message from the city of Rashat. In fact, it was actually my first time ever smoking a cigarette. It was very, very nice time. We didn't sleep at all, and we don't even feel tired. Our next front page article, hidden expenses in utility bills targeted. Chicago. With utility rates rising across Illinois, consumer groups are backing proposed legislation to wring $40 million per year in hidden expenses out of customer bills. The Utility Transparency Act, sponsored by State Senator Susie Glowiak Hilton and Representative Teresa Ma, is seeking to prohibit investor-owned utilities such as ComEd and Peoples Gas from charging customers for everything from trade association memberships and shareholder insurance protection to advertising. Illinois utilities are even able to charge customers for outside legal services, an expert witness used to push for rate hikes at the Illinois Commerce Commission. Consumer groups, Citizens Utility Board, 350 Chicago, and AARP Illinois held a news conference Wednesday morning in Springfield to bring attention to the proposed legislation and the hidden expenses adding to already high monthly utility bills. I've talked to some of my constituents, and they're saying that their bills haven't just ticked up, that they've doubled, Glowiak Hilton, a Democrat from the Western Springs, said during the news conference. What we should be doing is delivering energy to homes and businesses, not asking people to pay for extra things that don't do that. Under current Illinois law, utilities are able to pass along certain costs that consumer groups have long argued do not directly benefit customers. The proposed legislation would shift those costs, which are buried in delivery charges on monthly customer bills, to company shareholders. A Citizens Utility Board analysis of documents filed in rate cases before the ICC from 2023 to 2025 found that the proposed legislation could save Illinois ratepayers about $40 million per year. Similar legislation has passed in Connecticut, Colorado, and Maine. Chicago area customers have been hit by a 1-2 punch of higher delivery rates charged by utility companies and spiking energy costs, which are passed through the suppliers. Some ComEd customers saw a triple-digit increase in their total June electricity bills due to a supply rate increase and high demand during a summer heat wave. Last month, ComEd filed a $15.3 billion four-year grid plan with the ICC to meet projected increased electricity demand among its 4.1 million customers across northern Illinois. While ComEd will not file a rate request reflecting the grid plan until next year, it is projected to increase residential customer bills by about $3 per month starting in 2028, the utility said. Meanwhile, both Peoples Gas and Nicor Gas are seeking rate increases as supply costs continue to rise. Nicor, which serves 2.3 million customers in suburban Chicago and northern Illinois, filed a $221 million rate increase request last month with the ICC to replace and repair aging pipelines and equipment. If approved, it would raise average residential customer delivery charges by about $6 per month beginning in 2027, the utility said. Residential gas bills include both supply and distribution charges. While the utilities don't make any money on the supply end, the natural gas itself, they are responsible for procuring it as efficiently as possible to hold down the cost paid by customers. Nicor Gas supply prices are at 53 cents per therm in February, up 66% over the same month last year, according to published ICC data. Peoples Gas filed for a $202 million rate hike last month with the ICC to recover projected costs for its accelerated pipeline replacement program. If approved, the rate increase request would raise average residential customer delivery charges by $10 to $11 per month beginning in 2027, the utility said. Ordered by the ICC to retire more than 1,000 miles of old cast iron pipe by the end of 2034, Peoples Gas began to work this week excavating streets, sidewalks, and parkways to install new plastic pipes across 10 Chicago neighborhoods, from Budlong Woods to Rosemore to Scorch Village, the utility said. Our next article, a familiar ritual returns, families gather, schools close as sirens sound. Israel, Tel Aviv. Constant missile salvos from Iran sent people in central Israel in and out of shelters throughout the day Saturday after the U.S. and Israel launched a major attack on Iran. Many apartments in poorer areas are not equipped with adequate shelters. In Jaffa, a mixed Arab-Jewish neighborhood of Tel Aviv, more than 100 people, including Muslim families with young children, religious Jews from a nearby seminary, and at least a dozen dogs, crammed into the public shelter underneath a park. Some groups splayed out on mattresses they brought into the shelter and played cards. Others shared snacks, while observant Muslims were fasting for the holy month of Ramadan. Many stared at their phones, swiping through updates as sirens sounded in the neighborhood. As the sun set, Muslims were forced to have their iftar meal, breaking the daily fast at sundown in bomb shelters. "Of course we expected it, even though we didn't want it to happen," said Adit Cohen, who lives near the park. She noted, however, that it was one of the times when you could see the community come together. Her son received an emergency summons for reserve military duty, and a stranger in the shelter volunteered to drive him to the base, even though he was a religious Jew who generally does not drive on Saturdays, the Jewish Sabbath. I want this to end as soon as possible. It's a nightmare. People are more and more frustrated and tired," Cohen said. "We see families with babies and young kids here, but there are elderly people that aren't able to keep running here all day." For the past 2.5 years, Israelis became familiar with the routine after fighting with Hamas in the Gaza Strip, Hezbollah in Lebanon, Houthi rebels in Yemen, and a 12-day war last June against Iran. The country's layered system of air raid sirens, bomb shelters, and missile defense blunted the toll of attacks, but not entirely. Israel's rescue service, Magen David Adom, said late Saturday that a woman in the Tel Aviv area died after being injured in an Iranian strike. It said it treated at least 90 people with light injuries across Israel, as well as one man who was seriously injured. Igor Liebenson, a construction worker and father of two sons, said his family was mostly tired from the constant moving back and forth. "The kids aren't scared. We were here also in June at the same situation," said Liebenson, whose sons are 4 and 7 years old. Some of the religious Jews sang psalms with their arms slung around one another's shoulders. "We look at this in the long term. We suffer today, but we do hope that it will resolve the problems of tomorrow," said Maya Tuiten, a resident of Tel Aviv, who was in a public shelter in the northern part of the city. "The Iranian regime is not just a threat of us, people who live here in Tel Aviv, but for the entire world." During last year's war with Iran, some people without access to shelters in their homes took to sleeping in Tel Aviv's underground light rail stations and underground mall parking lots. While new buildings in Israel are required to have reinforced safe rooms meant to withstand rockets, Iran is firing much stronger ballistic missiles. Shelter access is severely lacking in poorer neighborhoods and towns, especially in Arab areas and in rural parts of the country. More than two-thirds of Israel's Bedouin minority have no access to shelters, according to the Negev Coexistence Forum, a local advocacy group. Last summer, many Bedouin families resorted to building DIY shelters out of available material, buried steel containers, buried trucks, repurposed construction debris. Iran began striking shortly after a joint attack by Israel and the U.S. early Saturday. By nightfall, the Israeli army said dozens of missiles were launched at Israel. Israeli police and emergency services and several people were lightly wounded in missile strikes, while the military intercepted many of the incoming missiles. Israel issued a nationwide warning and put the country on high alert, canceling school and most gatherings across the country. Our next article, From Shah to Supreme Leader. When targeted by nationwide protests this year, Iran's supreme leader Ayatollah Ali Khamenei unleashed the bloodiest crackdown of his nearly 4 decades in power. Early Sunday, Iranian state media reported his death after U.S. and Israel launched airstrikes against the country. The 86-year-old Khamenei tried to avert such strikes as the U.S. built up its military presence in the region to pressure Tehran over its nuclear program. He warned that if the U.S. struck, a regional war would ensue. At the same time, he allowed Iran to enter negotiations with the U.S. over its nuclear program. The suppression of the protests, with thousands of people killed amid chants of death to Khomeini, was a sign of the threat that popular anger represented after years of sanctions, economic mismanagement, and corruption gutted Iran's economy. Here's what to know about Khomeini. Transforming the Islamic Republic. When he rose to power in 1989, Khomeini had to overcome deep doubts about his authority. A low-level cleric at the time, he lacked the religious credentials of his predecessor, Ayatollah Ruhollah Khomeini, the leader of the Islamic Revolution. Khomeini has ruled three times longer than the late Khomeini and shaped Iran perhaps even more dramatically. He entrenched the system of rule by the mullahs, or Shiite Muslim clerics, under the Islamic Republic. Clerics stand atop the hierarchy, drawing the lines to which the civilian government and military and the intelligence and security establishment must submit. In the eyes of hardliners, Khomeini stood as the unquestionable authority below only that of God. At the same time, Khomeini built the Parliamentary Revolutionary Guard into the dominant player in military and internal politics. It boasts Iran's most elite military and oversees its ballistic missile program. Khomeini also gave the Guard a free hand to build a network of businesses and dominate the economy. In return, the Guard became his loyal shock force. Domestic challenges. The first major threat to Khomeini's grip was the reform movement that swept into parliamentary majority and the presidency soon after he became supreme leader. It advocated for giving greater power to elected officials, which Khomeini's hardline supporters feared would lead to dismantling the Islamic Republic system. Khomeini rallied the clerical establishment and unelected bodies run by mullahs, shut down major reforms, and barred reform candidates from elections. Since then, waves of popular protests were crushed. Huge nationwide demonstrations erupted in 2009 over allegations of vote rigging. Under the weight of sanctions, economic protests broke out in 2017 and 2019. More came in 2022 over the death of Mahsa Amini, whom police detained for not wearing her mandatory headscarf properly. Crackdowns against the protesters killed hundreds and hundreds more were arrested amid reports of detainees tortured to death or raped in prison. The latest demonstrations touched off in late December in Tehran's traditional bazaar after the country's currency, the rial, currency plunged to a record low of $1.42 million to the U.S. dollar. Protests quickly spread across the country. Rioters must be put in their place, Khomeini declared, when hundreds of thousands took to the streets January 8th and 9th. Security forces fired on crowds, and veterans of past demonstrations said they were stunned by the firepower unleashed. Activists said they documented more than 7,000 killed and were working to verify more. The government acknowledged more than 3,000 dead, which is still higher than the toll from past crackdowns. Nuclear negotiations. By agreeing to nuclear negotiations, Khomeini likely sought to buy time to avert U.S. strikes, but Iran opposed Washington's main demands that it halt all nuclear enrichment and surrender its uranium stocks. Trump initially threatened strikes to stop Khomeini and Iran's other leaders from killing peaceful protesters. He then wielded the threat to push Iran to engage seriously in nuclear negotiations. Some of Iran and the large Iranian diaspora expressed hope that the U.S. would use military force to bring down Khomeini. But there were also strong voices, even among Khomeini opponents, who were against foreign intervention to topple the theocracy. No success for successor. Officially, a panel of Shiite clerics is tasked with choosing one of their own to succeed Khomeini, and multiple names were floated, including his son. Continuing on, blood lunar eclipse to appear Tuesday, Belleville. The full moon peaking Tuesday, March 3rd, will bring the blood moon or total lunar eclipse to Illinois stargazers. Blood moon is the popular term referring to a total lunar eclipse, and the name is used because the moon appears oranges or reddish during the total lunar eclipse, according to NASA. This is because our planet blocks most of the sun's light from reaching the moon, and the light that does reach the lunar surface is filtered through a thick slice of Earth's atmosphere. NASA's website reads, "It's as if all the world's sunrises and sunsets are projected into the moon." A total lunar eclipse occurs when the moon moves through the inner part of the Earth's shadow. You can see the total lunar eclipse without any special equipment, NASA says, although your view can be enhanced by a dark environment, binoculars, or a telescope. The partial lunar eclipse will be visible before and after, but the period of totality will be 5:04 a.m. to 6:03 a.m. Tuesday. If you want to take a photo of the total lunar eclipse, NASA recommends using a camera on the tripod with exposures of at least several seconds. The more dust or clouds in the Earth's atmosphere during the eclipse, the redder the moon appears, NASA's website reads. March's full moon is also referred to as the worm moon. Possible explanations for the name's origins include earthworms appearing as the soil warms or beetle larvae emerging from the thawing tree bark, according to an old farmer's almanac. Full moons have multiple names, and many come from indigenous cultures. The almanac uses indigenous moon names, along with monikers from colonial America and other Northern American sources. Just a few days after the total lunar eclipse, Illinois residents will spring forward and move their clocks ahead 1 hour for the beginning of daylight saving time, 2 a.m. Sunday, March 8th. The first day of astronomical spring will come with the spring equinox Friday, March 20th. Continuing on, this week in the news, will the Bears stay in Illinois? Billed as a mega projects proposal, the state's House Revenue Committee advanced Thursday a bill that would prop up large developments such as potential site for Chicago Bears Stadium in Arlington Heights. However, the House adjourned that day and isn't scheduled to reconvene until March 18th. Meanwhile, this week, the Indiana State House passed their plan to attract the Bears Stadium to Hammond. As of Thursday, the competing proposal was awaiting signature by Governor Mike Brown. Bean farming. Illinois soybean farmers are set to receive special federal payments this month to offset losses from the 2025 trade disruptions. But while farmers welcome the relief, many say it will only provide temporary respite and they would prefer stable markets for their crops. Paradise. The Illinois Gaming Board on Thursday okayed plans to replace the Paradise Casino Riverboat in East Peoria with a $160 million facility to be built on a barge in the Illinois River. We will take a short break now and return with the second half hour of the Decatur Herald and Review. Please stay tuned.